So we are in Joel chapter 2. We'll bring in more books. If you did, they didn't get them to you, we keep handing them out every week. We just want to encourage you. We just want to equip you for the work of the ministry, because that's why we're here. Okay? And so as we're finishing up Joel chapter 2, returning to the Lord, we went through Joel chapter 12 through roughly 27, where we talked about yet even now returning to the Lord with all of our heart, with fasting, with mourning, and how sincere repentance and turning to God is also turning away from our sin. And even now, with all we've done, he still welcomes us with open arms. So come, let us return to us. Hosea 6:1 says, return to the Lord. He's torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. That's our God. He disciplines those he loves and everyone he entreats as a son. And we're to come with all of our hearts. And sincere repentance is always done with all of our heart, giving all we can in surrender to God. Ready? Remember, that's it's sincere, sincere, without wax. It's genuine. It's pure. And it's fasting, weeping, mourning. There's not only emotion, but there's action. And so all those things are present. We don't want to be like the people of Jesus' day, who Jesus said, hey, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We don't want that. We talked about rending our hearts, not our garments. In the Old Testament days, they would rend their garments to show, oh, like their heart's breaking. But God is saying, man, I want you to rend your heart. In Hebrew, it's kara. It means I want you to tear it out. Not literally, of course. Nobody do that. Go home. Rah. It just means grief. It's just, oh, Lord, I'm giving you everything. I want to rend my heart. It's all yours. And I want to return to the Lord, shub. And that return, that word return is in Hebrew, shub, means to bring back so that you could be refreshed, so that you can be restored, so that you can be renewed. It's not just, hey, return, come back, and maybe I'll like it, maybe I won't. He's saying, because I want to restore you. I want to refresh you. That's always God's heart towards you. And we talked about him being gracious, you know, and compassionate and loving, it says. It says he's a compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love. And it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance, the Bible says in Romans 2:4. And even though he is slow to anger, abounding in love, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, sin, it also says he does not leave the guilty unpunished. So God wants us to be right with him. And last, we talked about God being jealous for us. And then that word jealous for us, not of us, for someone's best, not of someone. And that how he's jealous for our good. And that how God wants to repay and restore, like Mark was saying, shalom. And he wants to reward, recompense, give back to us the years the locusts have eaten. And then when we do that, God says, if you return to me, I will restore you. Same word, Hebrew word. So you can continue to serve me, and that's what we want. And the end will be more valuable than the beginning. So we are in Joel chapter 2:28, and we're going to speak a bit today about the Holy Spirit. Now, whenever I talk about the Holy Spirit, everybody gets nervous, if you don't know. Or at least some people do. But it's not something he's not something we should be nervous about at all. Not even a little bit. Okay? And some of us are nervous, because maybe we've seen, some things in some churches where people are swinging off the chandeliers, and I don't know, but maybe you've been there. You know what I'm talking about, right? And unfortunately, they're zealous, and I love that. However, they're so open to the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, I think they can kind of open themselves up to the fleshly spirit. I don't know how many times somebody said, oh, I have a prophecy, and that it was not true. And then sometimes I've heard people say, oh, you know, Lord, this, that, and the other. And we have to kind of be careful, because we can open ourselves to demonic spirits, and we just have to make sure that we are also seeking the Holy Spirit with the guardrails of the Word of God. And so what I've noticed in Christendom, well, I love the zeal for the Holy Spirit. Love it. They in general, this is not every church, but in general, the one camp kind of poo-poos the Word of God. It's kind of an afterthought. It's kind of like, yeah, we'll throw the Word of God in there. But we'll let the, we want to do whatever the Holy Spirit wants. And that's good, but it has to be under the guardrails of God's Word. God will never do anything contrary to His Word. But then we have the other camp here. And this camp, they love the Word, and they want to obey the Word completely. And then they sometimes become so tight with the Word of God, do you know what happens? There's no room for the Holy Spirit to move. And they become dry and brittle. And so what we want is both. It's always God's heart, God's Word, and God's Spirit acting together. The Holy Spirit's not going to in opposition to God's Word, and God's Word is not going to be in opposition to the Holy Spirit. They work together. Does that make sense? So I'm always pulling people, these people from this side, and I'm saying, man, you guys got to get more grounded in the Word of God so that you know what it says. And then I'm pulling these folks at this way and saying, no, man, you need to be more open to the Holy Spirit. So both folks hate me. But it is what it is, and so I'm used to it. But I love a couple of these comments. So hear us out here, and we're gonna read through this scripture together, and then we're gonna exegete it. But I love a couple of quotes. This is A.W. Tozer. Now here's the thing. Now listen closely here to all of it. But A.W. Tozer says, we may as well face it. The whole level of spirituality among us is low. We have measured ourselves by ourselves until the incentive to seek higher plateaus and the things of the Spirit is all but gone. We have imitated the world, put on a show, if you will, sought popular favor, manufactured delights to substitute for the joy of the Lord, and produced a cheap and synthetic power to substitute for the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen to this one. I love this. This is from J.I. Packard. I love this. He says, the Christian's life in all its aspects, intellectual and ethical, devotional and relational, upsurging in worship and outgoing in witness, it's supernatural. Only the Holy Spirit can initiate it and sustain it. So apart from Him, Him being the Holy Spirit, not only will there be no believers and no lively congregations, there will be no believers and no congregations at all. Now, this was a study that was done, and this was done. This was, you can see the date up here. This is in the Christian Post. Okay, this was the headline news Friday, September 10th. Okay, just a couple days ago, and a new survey came out, and this is what it said. This was the headlines of the news. Of the estimated 176 million American adults who identify as Christians, listen to this now, just over 6% or 15 million of them actually hold a biblical worldview, a new study from Arizona Christian University shows. So that means that there's lots of people that call themselves Christians that probably have never even read the New Testament one time. Which is why we're always pushing these and giving them away for free. Anything to help you learn what the Word of God says for yourself so that you're not easily led away. Listen to what it goes on to say. It says, quote, too often it seems people who are simply religious or regular churchgoers, or perhaps people want a certain reputation or image, embrace the label Christian, regardless of their spiritual life and intentions, George Barna says, the lead researcher at the Cultural Research Center, explained in a statement. Christian has become somewhat of a generic term rather than a name that reflects a deep commitment to passionately pursuing and being like Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. Does everybody understand that? Amen. It goes on, that this article. This is a doozy. And I came across this by accident. I didn't look it up. I say by accident. To me, it was totally by accident. But you know what? You know who it was? It was the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Now, oh, wait, before I show you this. Now, there were in the survey, there were a lot of people who identified, some identified as Christian, some identified as this particular type. But usually when they go to born-again Christian or evangelical Christian, you get people who are a little bit more biblical literate. Okay? This is why this is important. The terminology is important. Okay, here we go. Okay. Some 62% of self-identified born-again Christians, okay, not just somebody who goes to church, calls himself a Christian, 62% of self-identified born-again Christians contend that the Holy Spirit is not a real living being, but is merely a symbol of God's power, presence, or purity. 62% of born-again Christians that hold a biblical worldview don't even believe the Holy Spirit is real. Some of you are like, oh, that's nice. No, but that, if that doesn't shock you, can I just tell you, that should just make your jaw drop. Welcome back. Listen to what it says. This is almost even worse. Listen to this. Another 61% say that all religious faiths are of equal value. Muslims, Hindu, we're all the same. And 60% of born-again Christians believe that if a person is good enough or does enough good things, they can earn their way into heaven. All these positions completely challenge the biblical worldview. Would you not agree? Hopefully you would agree. If you don't, well then, guess what? We got a nice Bible study for you. So it's very, very important for us, listen, to maintain a biblical worldview. We must get to know the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So I'm going to read together with you. This is in Joel chapter 2. I'm 28 to 32. It's only 5 verses. I hope we're going to get through it. So I'm going to read the 5 verses and let's see how far we get, okay? Because this is important. If 62% of self-identified born-again Christians don't even believe the Holy Spirit is real, I don't even know what to do with that. And only 6% of them hold a biblical worldview. Oh, man, people kind of can say, oh, Pastor, you're a little bit of an alarmist. You know what? Here's, and I understand why they're saying that, but here's how I see it. I'm a watchman on the wall. I'm like blowing, warning! I remember that shofar from a couple weeks ago? I'm blowing the shofar. Somebody, you guys are with me, right? We need to wake up and smell the coffee. We need now more than ever, study to show thyself approved, God's word says, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who rightly handles the word of God. And it's not the pastor's job, it's your job. It's your job and yours. And I'm not saying that, I'm yelling at you. That's just intensity and passion, okay? Poor new people. It's wonderful to see you. But you know what I'm saying, right? Okay, you hear the heart in it? Okay, so that's just passion. I'm not mad at you. But listen, guys, and we have to be open to whatever God's Holy Spirit has for us, okay? So let's read it together in Joel chapter 2. And then we'll go from verse 28 to 32, and then we'll exegete it together. Okay, ready? Verse 28 says, the day of the Lord. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Then I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire, billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So I gotta see. Give me, just take a look. Okay. All right. I got to see what the Lord wants here. Can you give me just a second? I'm just, what I'm doing right now for you new folks, I'm just praying and asking the Lord for the order of things. Okay. Skip that. Okay. All right, so it starts off together. If you can read it with me, verse 28. It says, and afterwards, right? Now, in that word afterward in Hebrew is akedar. And in 2 Samuel chapter 2 verses 1, 8 verses 1, 10 verses 1, 13 verses 1, that same Hebrew phrase means in the course of time. But the word itself, afterward in Hebrew, akar, means behind part, hinder part, or last part. Does that make sense? That's going to be important. Okay? The last part, all right? So after the restoration Joel spoke of previously in the chapter, there will come a time of ultimate restoration and blessing. The last time will begin the outpouring of God's Spirit on all people. We'll get to that in a bit. Not only on some selected men, leaders, prophets, judges, kings, at selected times for selected duties. So in the Old Testament, okay, this is how it would work. In the Old Testament time, it speaks a lot about the Holy Spirit coming upon people, but he was not poured out on all flesh under the Old Covenant. Instead, certain men were filled with the Spirit at certain times for certain duties. It was kind of rather selective. Like, for example, Joseph was filled by the Spirit of God in Genesis 41:38. The craftsmen who built the tabernacle were filled with the Spirit of God in Exodus 31:3. Joshua, filled with the Spirit in Numbers 27:18. A lot of the judges, Othniel, Gideon, Jephthah, Samson, were filled with the Spirit at a time for a mission. Saul was filled with the Spirit. King David was filled with the Spirit. Isaiah was filled with the Spirit. Ezekiel, Daniel. So basically leaders, prophets, judges, kings. But he's going to be, he says, in these last times, afterwards, in the hinder parts, in the last days, there's going to be a pouring out of my Spirit upon all people. Not just leaders. It's not just for pastors or for priests or for, right? He said it's going to be for everybody. For all who would want to receive him. Right? He's going to offer his Holy Spirit to all of us. Now that to me is very, very exciting. That is a wonderful... And if you remember from the book of Acts, which you may, right? The book of Acts quotes this in Acts chapter 2. He says, hey, what was happening was... If you don't remember this, I have this a little bit out of order, so I got to go to do this. It says in John chapter 20, 22, after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, it says when he was sitting with his disciples, right? He says, peace to you. And he says that he breathed on them the breath of life, just like originally in Genesis. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he said, I want you to wait, though. He said, I want you to wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Right? An empowerment of my Spirit, okay? And activation, whatever you want to call it. And then in Acts, as they're waiting, there was a loud noise, and there was a rumble jumble wind, and it gathered all the crowds. And it says that something like, you can read it for yourself in Acts chapter 2, tongues of fire came down, okay? And what that looked like, I don't know that we could, but like a tongue of fire, and that everybody started speaking, and it said, and all the crowd that were gathered were looking at the disciples of Jesus, and they were like, what's going on? And they were all hearing, they were from all over the world, and they were hearing them speak in their own language, and they were proclaiming the greatness of God, and they were like, what is going on? Because they're hearing all these different languages, and they're like, what are all these people, drunk or something? What's going on? And Peter says, this is the Darren paraphrase version. Dudes, he says, they're not drunk as you suppose. Huh? It's morning time. They just, what are you talking about? What you're seeing here, what you're hearing, what you're experiencing is the beginning of Joel. Now, it doesn't say it's fulfilled, because if you'll notice, we haven't seen the sun blotted out, and you know, this is the last days are beginning, right, in Acts, as the Spirit is being poured out, and will continue along as the prophecy is being fulfilled until that last day. Does that make sense? Right? And you know what happened that day? Right? As the Spirit empowered them, it says that 3,000 people got saved. Now, you want to hear something neat? When the law first came through Moses, right? God gave the Ten Commandments. 3,000 people died through the law. But yet, 3,000 people, oddly enough, when the grace, when the Spirit rained down, exact same amount were saved. Interesting, huh? So listen. So in the Old Testament, it was a little bit more selective, but now, what does that mean? That means, I mean, just Darren? Darren can, I can receive the Holy Spirit and everything that God wants from? I can be saved? Absolutely. Now, this would have blown the Jews away back then, because they were like, it's only, you know, King David. This is for kings. This is for Isaiahs, not for Stanleys, not for Gages, not for Lisas. Do you hear what I'm saying? God's like, no, I'm going to make it available to everybody. Anyone who wants to call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I'm going to gift them with my Holy Spirit. That probably, this is what would have happened to a Jew when they're hearing this in Joel. Mind blown. Now, it's interesting to me. Now, listen to this. This is kind of cool. Okay, this is where I get geeked out. Okay, so for some of you, they're going to be like, yawn. For me, it's like, so cool. Okay, now, for those of you who don't know, it's interesting to note that the Jewish Bible or the Hebrew Bible called the Tanakh, okay, which stands for Torah, the first five books, the Nevi'im, the prophets, and the Ketuvim, and that's the book of writings like the Psalms and stuff like that. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. It's the same as our Protestant Old Testament, okay, that we have here, okay? It's the same, except sometimes the order is a little bit different, and here's what I mean by this. Okay, so example, 1 and 2 Samuel, it's just in the Hebrew Bible, it's just Samuel. 1 and 2 Kings, Kings, you got it? Okay, so sometimes the order is a little bit different. But right here, you see chapter 2, verse 28 to 32? In the Hebrew Bible, this was so important to them that they made that, those few five verses, its own chapter. That's chapter 3. And chapter 4 goes on where your chapter 3 is. So God must have said, hey, this is important stuff. I want you to pay attention. And so he says, and afterward, a care, the last part, he says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And when I think of pouring out, I don't know about you, but this is just what I, two scripture verses come to mind. One is in Isaiah, where it says, in Isaiah 44:3, he says, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the ground, on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. I'm going to pour it out, he says. And that's what he's willing to do. Or, you know, it reminds me also in John chapter 7, verse 37 and 39, Jesus, right? It was a time of tabernacles. They were celebrating in Jerusalem in Jesus' day. And so what they would do is, it was one of the required feasts. All the Jews, anybody who served the Lord would come, and they would build these little tents on the rooftops, in alleyways, everywhere, in the temple courts, and to remind them of their time in the wilderness, right? And what they would do is they would go. For 6 days they would do this, and then on the seventh day they would go and get water from the pool of Siloam, which means sent one, the Messiah, looking forward to the Messiah, thinking about the past when, listen to this, God provided the bread of life and the living water. Huh. Does that sound like anybody? Bread of life, living water. Ring any bells? Okay. Name starts with a J. Anyway. So they go and get, and then they have a procession, and then what they do is they pour out the water, the living water from the sent one's well, right? On a dry and thirsty land. And at the last and greatest day of the feast, the seventh day, they do this big procession and they pour it out. And it was at that moment, I believe, that Jesus stood up in a loud voice and says, "Hey, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me," listen, "as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will pour from them or flow from them." And then it goes on to say, "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." Interesting, huh? Interesting. And they did receive it. You remember in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "You will receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And they did. And they never looked back. It says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Now, I have to say this. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. And just be open to whatever God has to say, okay? Again, we don't want to be at either extreme. We want to be together. God's word, when Peter spoke about the Holy Spirit and what God was doing by the Spirit, he went and immediately did a Bible study. He said, "Hey, this is biblical. This goes back to Joel." The Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God always go together. Does that make sense? If you don't get that right, you're going to end up missing out on all that God has for you, or being drier than a bone, or you're going to be opening yourself up to stuff you don't want to open up. They go together, hand in hand, Word of God and the Spirit of God. They're not in opposition to each other. So stop this, churches. They work together. Does that make sense? Okay, so here, we're going to talk a little bit about the Spirit. It says so in verse 28, okay? Because if 60% of the people, born-again Christians, don't even believe the Holy Spirit is real, oh man, we're in trouble. So first off, we have to know the Holy Spirit is real, and he is a part of the Trinity, okay? Okay, the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? It says, look, it says in Matthew chapter 28, 19, we're going to be baptizing people today. And we're going to baptize them in Jesus' name, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Jesus told us to do. He says, therefore, he said, "I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Paul mentions it all the time, where he talks about, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all," 2 Corinthians 13, 14, right? Okay? And in fact, even in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 3 to 4, he's referred to as God. What? Yes, I kid you not. There was a time when everybody was meeting and they were, the church was growing, right? After the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were teaching the Word of God and they were growing. They were being discipled and they were getting stronger in the Lord. And then what would happen is when they were in need, some people would sell some of their stuff and share it with others. Kind of like how you guys do here. So that other people were able to buy Bibles for Kenya or help somebody with food all the time. And it was theirs to give away or theirs to keep. They could do whatever they want with it. But what happened, there was a folks by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. Do you remember them? Acts chapter 5. And they decided to do something which God hates. They decided to put on a show. Listen, and I see this so, so very often. God does not want you to be an actor. Hypocrite means actor in Greek. He does not want you to put on a show for anybody. And what they did is they said, "Hey, we're selling our land." And it says that It says in the Bible that they kept some of the money back. And you think, oh, what's the big deal there? It's not, except the word that they used, the Greek word for kept, means embezzled. In other words, they were telling God, telling the disciples, hey, we're giving you all this money. Aren't I spiritual? Isn't my wife spiritual? Oh, yeah. But secretly, they're like, yeah, we're not giving them squat. Let's just give them a little bit, right? So this is what happened. It says, Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Now listen, again, it's not about keeping the money. It's about just putting on a show and lying. And see, Peter says, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? You could do whatever you want with it. After it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? But what made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to, you get it? Listen, the Holy Spirit possesses attributes of God, okay? And so I just want us to know, it's here we go. First off, it talks about the Holy Spirit being omnipresent, okay? And so Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10 says this, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your heavens, from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. He's omnipresent. The Holy Spirit also is omnipotent. It talks about that in Luke chapter 1, 35 to 37. Where it says, listen, the angel answered and said to her, Ms. Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One is going to be born, will be called the Son of God. And then it said, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her whom is barren, for with God nothing is impossible. Spirit, nothing is impossible. Okay? He's also omniscient. John 16, 12 to 13. Omniscient is a fancy word of meaning just all-knowing, okay? It says in John 16, 13, that when the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. That means it's the Holy Spirit. If you learn anything from me that's good and true and praiseworthy, it's because of the Holy Spirit. See, he's opening up your mind, right? He's teaching me to teach you. It's all because of the Holy Spirit, okay? He'll guide you into how much truth? All truth. Yes, he's omniscient. He knows it all. He'll guide you into all truth. He's also eternal. Listen, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says this about the Holy Spirit. And again, I know this is a little teachy, but we have to know this. If 60% of born-again Christians don't even think he's real, they don't know anything about him. It's shocking. It says, this is in Hebrews chapter 9, 14. It says, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. So the Holy Spirit is also eternal, but he's also holy. Romans 1, 14 says this, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. So the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's to make us holy. He cleanses us from the inside out. That's why if you're sinning and you're going the wrong direction, you're miserable. And you know what? Good. Can I just be honest with you? Great. Because if you're going the wrong way and nothing was happening, that means God doesn't care. The fact that you're miserable, that means God is trying, saying, come back. You know you're not doing right. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's love. If you've ever had a kid that's gone astray or starts going astray, can I tell you what? Your heart breaks. There's nothing like it. Terrible. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. But can I tell you something? Honestly? The main goal, you want that kid to come back always. And that's your Heavenly Father. It also shows the Holy Spirit possessing the attributes of God as creator. And this is in Job 33:4. I didn't put the slide up for that one because I didn't have time. It's a lot of slides. Also as creator, but in Psalm 104:30. So I gave you that one. All right. Here you go. It says, that's a nice slide. Thank you. When you send your spirit, they are created and you renew the face of the ground. Listen, the Holy Spirit was there in creation. All the way back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, I think, Pastor Gary, yes? Spirit hovered around, right? Is that? Yeah. Over the waters. That's right. So listen, now, here's something else. I hear this a lot, and Unitarians and a bunch of other ones believe the Holy Spirit, you have to know, is a person. What? The Holy Spirit is not a thing, right? It's not a force. It's not like electricity where you get, you know, zapped with or something like that. Or he is more than that. Our God is personal in every way. Does that make sense? Look, he's not a force. This isn't Star Wars. You know what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is very real. He's very personal. Listen, I want you to listen to the personal pronouns in this, okay? All right, listen to this next scripture verse and see if you can see. This is the Lord speaking. Ready? Here's what he says. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Does that make sense? It doesn't say, however, when it, the Spirit of truth, comes, it will guide you. Do you see the difference? The Holy Spirit, God is so personal. When he puts his Holy Spirit, he's giving you himself, the person of himself. That's how much he wants to be with you. In the Old Testament times, he would dwell in the temple. I mean, that was the Holy of Holies. Now you're that temple. He's saying, dudette, I love you guys so much. I don't want to just be with you anymore. I want to be in you all the time. But Lord, you're going to see all the areas in my heart that stink. You know what they are. And he's like, yep, I still love you, son. I want a clean house. Let's get to work. Let's get cleaning. I love you, kid. I love you, kid. Yeah, I love you too, Yandel. Does that make sense, everybody? Listen, the Holy Spirit, though, being a person, has the characteristics of a person. So, again, I just want you to know, listen, this is not, get out of the mind thing, force, he's real. He's a person of the Holy Spirit, okay? So, here's the characteristics. First off, the Holy Spirit has a will, okay? The Bible says, listen to this, that when the Holy Spirit, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells in us, right? Into every believer's heart. But then it says he also gives us, activates, however you want to say it, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Special blessings, whatever you want to say, to each individual believer. And here's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit, right? He doesn't just give us, yeah, and I don't even know how to say this. He wants us to be a body and we're to be interdependent, not completely independent. So he chooses what gifts we get when we need them. Like, for example, when I was an administrator of a giant school, well, there was, I don't know, 120 families in a school. He gave me the gift of administration. But can I tell you what? I stunk at teaching. But now when he's called me to pastor and teach, all of a sudden I've kind of, I don't know, I don't have that. He's like, I'm taking away that gift and I'm giving you the pastor gift. And I'm going to be teaching. So, somebody's thinking, well, you kind of still stink as a teacher. But anyway, but I'm much better than I was. So there. He said. But listen, first off, the Holy Spirit has characteristics of a person. He has a will. Listen to this. Here it says this, and I want you to hear it. Oh, what is this? I didn't say it. It's in Corinthians chapter 12. I forgot to put the verse down. Somebody look that up for me. Verse, Mark, would you mind? I'm 4-ish, 7-ish. Was it? 11-ish. Is that it? You sure? All right. Oh, yeah, that's right. I just didn't have it on the slide. Oh, that's good. Okay. So it says this. Okay, yeah, 11. It is the one and only Spirit. Who is that? The Holy Spirit, right? Who distributes these gifts. And it says he alone decides which gift each person should have. Now listen, God has given me certain gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's given me the gift of encouragement. He's given me the gift of discernment. Sometimes he's given me a prophetic gift. And then I remember driving in the car one time with my wife and another one of my friends who loves the Lord. He's in Japan right now, counseling on a military base with his family, wife. Anyway, the bottom line is, I remember saying, oh man, but if I just had, if I had this gift and this gift, man, I was thinking I could be so, I would be. And he said, my friend in the back said, so prideful. It's not what I was thinking. But you know what? He's probably right. In fact, he was right. See, he gives us different gifts so that we can all learn and grow together. Right? If you had everything you needed, you don't need him. You don't need her. You don't need them. We don't need the body, right? But he's saying, you do. Listen to this. He also prays. Okay? The Holy Spirit, being a person, also prays. What? Pastor, are you serious? Where does it say that in the Bible? I'm so glad you asked, because it all has to match up, right? That's always the question to ask. Don't just listen to somebody who says it's in the Bible. Know where it is in the Bible. Capiche? There's a lot of charlatans out there. A lot of people just regurgitate what they heard. They don't know if it's actually in there. It just sounds biblical, so let's say it. We're going to give you scripture verses. This is in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Yeah, I had to make sure I got scared there. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit, being a person, has a mind. Okay, this slide isn't that great, but there's a lot of slides and took a lot of time. Romans chapter 8, verse 27 says, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Romans 8, 27. It also says that the Spirit loves. Romans chapter 15, the Holy Spirit loves. Romans chapter 15. Verse 30, listen to this. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the, what? Love of the Holy Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. So the Holy Spirit, being a person, has the characteristics of a person. It also says that he searches and he reveals. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says this. Listen. And again, I always go back to the Word of God because I want you to know, always back it up by Scripture. It says, 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God. Capiche? It also says the Holy Spirit, being a person, has knowledge. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says this. He knows, okay? It says, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:11, although I got to change that, make it look a little nicer. All these little things that I notice. It also says that the Holy Spirit, being a person, he teaches us and he reminds us. Okay? John 14:26, Jesus said, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." Listen, he's teaching. He's reminding. That's personal. Does that make sense? For some of you, this is like more about the Holy Spirit than I ever wanted to know. But I want you to know, okay? Listen, the Holy Spirit, being a person, is also affected by our actions and our attitudes. Did you know that? Listen, we can lie to the Holy Spirit. You saw that in Acts, right? Chapter 5. You can lie to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, it won't go well for you, but you can do it. Did you know you can also make the Holy Spirit sad? You can grieve the heart of God? When you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, like a dad who loves his daughter or his son, he's not thinking, "Oh, I'm ready for that lightning bolt. Now I'm going to flip the switch." He's thinking, "Oh, kid, you come on. Come on. I know you. You got this." But you can grieve him. Ephesians chapter 4:30 says this. Listen, hear me now. We don't want to do that. But you can make God sad. What? For realsies. Listen, it says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Listen, and honestly, if you can grieve him, obviously you can make him happy. Right? When you do the things that pleases God, woohoo! When I see my kids doing what's right in the Lord's eyes, I'm like, "Oh my God, thank you so much. Nothing brings my heart more joy." Right? Same with God, with you. We can also squelch the Holy Spirit. I don't know the right words. Put it out or quench. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, it says, "Do not quench." Simply says, "Do not quench the Holy Spirit." Listen, hey, I've seen too much crazy stuff, so I don't want anything that the Holy Spirit has for me. I'll be over here in this camp, and it's like, don't do that. It says that we're to eagerly desire all the gifts, the greater gifts. Ask God for everything. And listen, if you don't want to do it, can I just tell you? You can pray for me. Give Pastor Darren every gift that you want to give God, because he wants to glorify you and magnify. Pray for Pastor Gary. Listen, but that aside, ask, knock, seek. And the Holy Spirit, it says, will be given to you. He's a good father that gives good things. What does it say about, he's not going to give you a scorpion. He's not going to give you a stone. He's going to give you a good gift. How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So ask for any gift. And every gift. Go through, read Corinthians chapter 12. How long have I been teaching, Pastor Gary? 64
minutes.
How long?
64.
Are you sure you're right?
Yeah, we're already in overtime.
Okay. There's no finish. There's many hours later. Okay, so let's just, Lord, oh, help me do the right thing. I don't know what to do here, for Lord. There's so much more. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I almost made it through one verse. I think that's a new record. I did half a verse. Twitch. So we've got a lot to cover next week. So in order to get a complete story, you need to come back. And no, this was not planned. I got lots more slides. No, I do. So come back and let's find out all we can about God, okay? And remember, let's not be afraid of the Holy Spirit, but let's also line it up with the Word of God so you don't get wackadoodle stuff. Does that make sense? Okay, Chris, before we close, you have... do I have a microphone? Yes. Actually, Lord... Okay, yes. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I was feeling like the Lord. Thank you, Chris, for that. Thank you for being generous there. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to close out in prayer, and then I would invite you, Pastor Gare, what time is our baptism today?
4 o'clock.
I didn't take my caffeine this morning, so I'm 4 o'clock. Okay, at the beach. Okay, so if anybody gets lost, call Betty. No, if anybody gets lost, oh, I saw your hand raised. If anybody gets lost, Pastor Gary or Pastor Darren or Lisa or I don't know who else is going. Mark, you're going to go. I'm going to just, if you don't have our numbers, just call and ask us. We'll help direct you there if you get lost, whatever. And I, again, however many comes, what we're going to do, just so you know, we're going to take those people who are getting baptized and we're going to ask the Lord to give us a word. We're going to have anybody wants to pray over them, or maybe God will give them a prophetic word to speak over them, or to pray over them, or just you want encouragement, a gift of encouragement. It's a chance for you to give verbal gifts. And again, if there's 5 people or 55 or whatever, however many people come, we're just going to go and we're going to baptize. And I also want to say, if the weather gets bad, we're still going to be there. We actually once baptized in a hurricane. Was it a tropical storm? Tropical storm. So unless there's lightning, we're still going to be out there baptizing some folks. And it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful honor. And you guys are invited. So listen, but don't, again, feel obligated. We're there for them. And they want to make a public profession of faith, what Christ has done in their hearts. And they want to shout it to the world in honor and obedience to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? So if nothing else, if you're not going to go, pray for them. And Betty, is this about the baptism? Okay. Then, Kelly. All right, go ahead, Betty. And then Gary's raising his hand. Go ahead. And then, yes.
A lot of my family, I've got family in Mississippi and Louisiana, and my aunt lost the roof of her house and a lot of damage around her home.
Okay.
So I got cousins and I got aunts and uncles in Louisiana, if y'all can remember my family in Louisiana, because they had a lot of damage and they just, 2 of my family members just got their power back on yesterday.
Ugh. Maybe we can help send them some stuff as well.
My aunt really, because they're both retired and they lost a lot of their food and stuff that they can't get. And
yeah, we will.
But she said, I haven't got no money to buy food.
Yeah. Well, we'll stop and we'll pray for them right now and then talk to Pastor Gary afterwards about that. But we're going to pray for them together right now. And Pastor Gary, you... Okay. All right. Do you feel led to pray? Okay. All right. All right. Then I'm going to do it. So, Father, first off, we just want to say thank you for your word, Lord. That's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your word does not return void, but accomplishes the purpose that you send it forth to do. Bless your people today. Help everyone here to receive everything that you want them to receive in Jesus' name, to hide it in their hearts so they won't sin against you, Lord. Lord, we pray a blessing on this body, the folks that are here, and all the folks that are watching home recovering, Lord God, your blessing in Jesus' name. Lord, we also pray for Betty's family, Lord, that you would provide, and hers and anyone else's here that's struggling and suffering, any way that you would be their Jehovah Jireh, that you would provide even supernaturally, Lord, whether that be food or support or companionship or protection, everything, Lord, that you would meet their needs right where they're at so that they would turn to you in every way, Lord God. So help this family. And if we can be a blessing, Lord God, I pray that you just, when Betty and Pastor Gary are talking, Lord, that you just open something up, Lord God, to send some stuff out their way. And so we thank you for this body. We thank you for that family. And we ask for your provision in the name of Jesus Christ. And together we all say thank you, Lord, and amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you at the baptism.